नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय। ओम नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय। ओम नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय। ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मननपि शचीपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्यागजम् उरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशां प्राप्तो यस्य कथिता कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागजातं सहगणरघुनाथं नितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं वृजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता शिवशाखां। ॐ नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय। Namaste jaste jasai avirabhi bhavavadra nakhavadra dangshra karmashaya randhaya randhaya tamogasagrasa om swaha abhayam abhayam atrani bhuryashtra om shro vagisha yasya vagane lakshmi yasya chavarchasi yasya aste hridaye samvittam darshingham maham bhaje shri nrsimha jaya nrsimha jaya jaya nrsimha Prahladesha jaya padma mukha padma vena Ugram viram mahavrishna jolantam saravato vakam Nrsingham vishatam mahatam mitra mitra vakam. On the day prior to the celebration of Nrsingha's appearance in this world, we are to glorify Nrsimhadev. Though no one's seen him yet. They don't even know he's coming. He appeared that no one expected, least of all Hiranyakashipu. So we are to glorify Nrsimha. That we are supposed to do. Otherwise, if we don't glorify Nrsimha, then we glorify Shravidvarahushtrakara, dogs, hogs, camels and asses. Everyone in this world is busy glorifying dogs, hogs, camels and asses. Some of them in human form. Mostly in human form. Sometimes they directly glorify dogs. They have dog competitions, who's the best dog. And sometimes they glorify the dogs who have become human beings in presidential elections and this kind of thing. Those who were dogs are going to become dogs. But we shall glorify Nrsimhadev and not Hiranyakashipu. Or should we glorify Hiranyakashipu? No, shouldn't glorify Hiranyakashipu. It's not a good thing to do. Well, Vishnu himself glorified Hiranyakashipu. When he came as Vamanadev, he came to beg from Bali Maharaj. So, first of all, if you want to get a donation, you have to flatter the person a bit. Make him, put him in a good mood. Then you ask for a donation. It's every book distributor, collector, they know that. So Vamandevi also did that. He said, you see, you come from such a great family, and this Hiranyakashipu, he was so how are you going to glorify the demons? If you tell them you're a very good person, they don't want to hear that. They have to tell me you're a very bad person, then they like that. Just like Prahlad called Hiranyakashipu Asuravarya, you're the biggest demon. Hiranyakashipu thought, yeah, that's right. That's the proper way to glorify him. So Vamandev glorified Bali Maharaj. You see in your family, this Hiranyaksha, he fought with Varaha, with Vishnu. And Vishnu, he thought, that was a tough fight. He thought himself very accomplished to have defeated Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyakashipu, he was so angry. Now, that's not a good quality. Except in Nrisimha days. But for the demons, their anger is not good. But they think it's good. So Vaman glorified Hiranyakashipu. He was so angry. You see, most people, they get angry. Then they cool out. They cool down after some time. But Hiranyakashipu, he maintained an attitude of hatred and anger toward Vishnu throughout his life. He never cooled down. He had such intense hatred. So in this way, Vamanadev glorified Hiranyakashipu. And we're also grateful to Hiranyakashipu. For what? Well, Nrisimhadev appeared. Why? To protect Prahlad. From who? From Hiranyakashipu. So if Hiranyakashipu had not been Hiranyakashipu, then we wouldn't be celebrating the appearance of Nrisimha, at least not in this way. When we remember Nrisimha, we have to remember Hiranyakashipu. So he's glorified, and he also glorified Vishnu better than Prahlad, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In the Satya Yuga, Hiranyakashipu glorified Vishnu better than did Prahlad. Now, where will you find that? That Hiranyakashipu glorified Vishnu. We won't find anything he says. Of course, Vagisha Yasya Vadane, Vagisha Saraswati, who is always in the mouth of Nrisimhadev. So, she doesn't like to hear Nrisimhadev blasphemed. So even when Hiranyakashipu blasphemes Vishnu, Saraswati enters, and she... And Vishwanath Chakravarti, always, whenever a demon's blaspheming Vishnu, he finds out how actually they're glorifying Vishnu. You just have to... They're not meaning to do so, but... The words are understood by the devotees that, inspired by Saraswati, they are speaking actually in glorification of Vishnu. But Hiranyakashipu glorified Vishnu. We find that he generally blasphemed Vishnu. He mocked Vishnu after Varaha had killed Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu, he mocked Vishnu. You see, he's given up this Vishnu. He's given up his impartiality. He's supposed to be impartial. fair to everyone. Samoham sarvabhutesh. I'm fair to everyone. But Hiranyakashipu said he's given up his impartiality to favor the demigods. So in this way, he actually glorified Vishnu. That Vishnu is supposed to be impartial, but he is partial to the demigods, actually to his devotees. So that's actually what appears to be a fault of partiality is Krishna's great quality. If he's just impartial, justice, the figure of justice has this blindfold. That, okay, whatever you do, yayataman prapadyante, whatever you do, I give the result, that's all. If you're good, I give you a good result. If you're bad, I give you a bad result. Then, this is the conception of the karma mimamsakas. Well, if there's a God, he gives good result for good people and bad result for bad people. So, what do we care about him? He's also bound by the Vedic rules. But Krishna is not bound by the Vedic rules. He flouts them all the time for the sake of his devotees. So he is impartial, but he's partial to his devotees. And this way Hiranyakashipu was actually glorifying Vishnu for being partial. He was stating it as a fault, but actually it's the greatest quality of Vishnu, that he's partial to his devotees. Now, another point of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is independent. That states right in the first shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Swarat, he is independent. He doesn't need anyone or anything. Everything is relative to him. We exist for his pleasure. But then later we'll find himself state contradicting Vyasadeva. He is Vyasadeva. Aham bhakta paradhino. I am dependent upon my devotees. I'm subordinate. So everything, he's independent. He's independent in all respects. He's dependent upon his devotees also. So you may say that's contradictory. Yes, it's contradictory. And that is the nature of Bhagavan. He's contradictory. And that is also not a fault. That is his greatest quality. The demons, like Hiranyakashipu, will see it as a fault. But that's another of his great qualities, that everything is resolved in him and he's contradictory also. Everything about him is contradictory. Therefore, you can't understand him at all. So he's independent, means everything happens in relationship to him. His pleasure is the reason for everything, the ultimate cause of everything. He's the sarva karana karanam. He's the ultimate cause of everything. So everything rests ultimately on his pleasure. Everything is going. And the whole material world, we're all here because we're all mini Hiranyakashipus. We're all trying to be God, separate from him, not acting for his pleasure. So everything centers around him. But we are all in relation to him. But he appeared because of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu made such a big disturbance that Vishnu became obliged to appear. Of course, he could just, you know, send someone down, or send a thunderbolt down, or have Hiranyakashipu have a heart attack. Hiranyakashipu didn't ask for protection from heart attacks. So he could have done that also, but it wouldn't have been much fun. And what's more, Nrisimhadev, he had to come personally. Just like we see Krishna, he becomes, although he's supposed to, what is this? Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsabhritta Jare Joiche Nache Tare Toiche Kare Nritta. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. All others are His servants. As He makes others dance according to the way He wants them to dance, but then in relation to His devotees, He dances according to the way they dance. He learns dancing from Radharani. So He becomes relative to His devotees. So he was forced to appear by Hiranyakashipu. Now if you say this outside the Gauriya Sampradaya, they'll kick you for being an offender. So only Gauriyas can speak like this. That he couldn't control his senses. That's another thing. Hiranyakashipu blamed Vishnu. Cannot control his mind and sense. And it's a fact that he became so angry at Hiranyakashipu. It wasn't going to be enough for him just to send some Yamadutas or Vishnudutas or someone to beat him up. But he had to personally appear and rip that demon to pieces. So this is Bhagavan. His anger. His such anger. Hiranyakashipu, Vishnu glorified. Vamandev glorified. How angry is such a person? Such anger. That was so. The anger of Hiranyakashipu was so dangerous. His ambition to control the worlds. He went and performed tapasya. Tapasya, this tapa, heat. It's generating heat. So by Hiranyakashipu's tapasya, the whole universe became suffocated and hot. This tapasya, this intensity of his tapasya, that he had this anger. What is that? His desire to dominate and control the universe. That was inspired the demons. They're inspired. They want to enjoy and control. But the underlying emotion is anger against Vishnu. Why is Vishnu powerful? I shall be more powerful. So his concentrated anger threatened to burn the whole universe. Then Brahma came, sprinkled some water on him, cooled him down a bit and said, okay, all right, now what do you want? Benedictions, this, all right. Immortality, sorry, can't give you, but all right, won't be killed in the day or night, okay, all right, won't be killed by any human, god, or beast, all right, that's okay. Won't be killed inside or outside, that's okay. Won't be killed in the water, the sky, or the land. Okay. You can have all these benedictions. So, Hiranyakashipu, he then embarked on a campaign of harassing Indra and others. Indrari vyakalam lokam vidayanti yuge yuge. He comes. In every yuga, Vishnu comes. to counteract the demons who are the enemies of Indra in every yuga. But actually, we find Hiranyakashipu's family, they were such demons, such enemies of Indra, that even in one yuga, even in, what's that, 1, 2, 3, 4, in 5 generations, he came 3 times, Vishnu came. For in one generation, he came to destroy, came twice to destroy Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And then the grandson of Prahlad, Bali, he came again. So they were real high pedigree demons, not just your Stalins or your Mussolinis, but real universal demons. So Vishnu, he came in counteraction to that anger. Hiranyakashipu is so angry because he is not God. He wants to be God. Every demon, they have this ambition to be God. I will control. I will dominate. I will enjoy. Ishvaro ham, aham bhogi, siddho ham balavan suki. This was Hiranyakashipu's motto. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect. I am powerful. I am happy. But actually he knows that Vishnu is the right person to say this. The demons say this, but only Vishnu can say it. So it's their whole being, there's an underlying hatred of Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu, he had that tremendous intensity of hatred. He wanted to enjoy the world, but actually he couldn't. He was always frustrated, even though he had all facility to enjoy. No demon since has had such facility to enjoy. I mean, even he came again as Ravana, but he went around and bullied some of the demigods for some time, and then he just settled down in Lanka and was leading a peaceful, retired life until he had the bad idea to kidnap Sita. And Shishupal, he came again as Shishupal, and we don't find that he exhibited such a universally destructive character as he did as Hiranyakashipu or Ravana. He was just, another demon, that's all. There were so many demons. And Krishna, with the help of others, was knocking them off one after another. So Shishupal, he didn't exhibit such great demonic... Of course, he was blaspheming Krishna. That's not very good. But he wasn't a universal demon. So Hiranyakashipu, he was the first of 3 appearances, according to Bhagavatam. And is the most intense. And he got the most intense response also. Yeyata maam prapadyante taams tathaiva bhajami aham. He got an intense response. His anger was such that even Vishnu glorified it. Such anger he maintained throughout his whole life. Therefore, he couldn't be happy. Actually, no one can be happy. Whether you're angry or not angry, no one can be happy without recognizing Vishnu's superiority. So, Hiranyakashipu, despite having all facility to dominate the universe and all facility for sense enjoyment, he was always frustrated and always angry because he was trying to be something he's not. He's trying to be God. And he hated Vishnu. That was his anger, that he knew, I cannot become Vishnu. He mocked Vishnu. Where's that Vishnu? We don't see Vishnu. He's hidden away. Actually, he was hidden. He was, that Vamandev also said, that Vishnu became so afraid of Hiranyakashipu that he hid inside Hiranyakashipu's heart. So Hiranyakashipu couldn't find him. He hid away. You know, he went, he wasn't manifest. He was just letting, just like Hiranyakashipu's austerity. He was performing austerity, and the intensity built up and built up and built up till the whole universe was suffocated. And then Brahma had to appear and make some adjustments. So in the same way, Hiranyakashipu's offenses and his hatred of Prahlad was building up and building up and building up until this time Vishnu appeared and just showed that after all he is supreme. Despite Hiranyakashipu's wishful thinking, of course Hiranyakashipu was not simply a wishful thinker, he was an ambitious person. He's not this kind of person who sits at home and daydreams about being a big shot. But he did something. He was an achiever. He was a success. He did something with his life. Those of you, well, in India, that's what they advertise, right? You should do something with your life. Be a success. Make your mark. So the... And they give examples of, you see, this Dhirubhai Ambani, and how he made himself, it was nothing, and he made himself such a big man. Actually, they should give the example of Hiranyakashipu. Because by his own prowess, he made himself much, much bigger than Dhirubhai Ambani. Which most of you, if you're not from India, you've never heard of him. If you're from India, you've heard of him because he had his own propaganda machine going on. But Hiranyakashipu, he didn't need a propaganda machine because everyone in the universe knew him and feared him. And he didn't need a PR department because he didn't care for PR. He didn't, what do they call that nowadays? Communications, how to fool people, that you're nice when you're not nice. You see, you exploit people and then you have someone spin, they put the spin on it to make it, actually we're acting for your benefit. So Hiranyakashipu, he was a great success. There's never been anyone since then, self-made man. He dominated the whole universe. But he failed to acknowledge that his power came from Vishnu. Why was Hiranyakashipu so angry against Prahlad? I mean, after all, Prahlad was a little boy, and little boys, if they speak nonsense, you might slap them. Nowadays, it's not allowed, but usually if the child gets too naughty, you give them a little slap. I'm not condoning it, otherwise I'll get, you know, I'll get censured by the CPO or whatever. But you don't take it very seriously. But what really made Hiranyakashipu angry was he asked Prahlad, that what is the source of your power? And Hiranyakashipu, actually when he said this, then he admitted defeat. By asking this question, he admitted defeat before Prahlad. Because Hiranyakashipu thought, I have attained power by myself, by my austerities. I have forced Brahma to give me all this power. But he saw that Prahlad was more powerful than him. because all the endeavors of Hiranyakashipu to censor Prahlad, to kill, to torture Prahlad, to kill him, it was all useless. Prahlad was just Prahlad. Prahlad means happy. So Hiranyakashipu is trying to torture, kill, and silence, and stop. And Prahlad just doesn't even bother. He's not even diplomatically trying to avoid and pretend that he's not a devotee. He just tells Hiranyakashipu, look, you know, you're just a demon. You're just stupid, that's all. You should worship Vishnu. Prahlad's completely fearless. He doesn't care for Hiranyakashipu. Indra and everyone, they're all hiding away. And Prahlad doesn't even care. And he hasn't even done any austerities. He's so powerful that he can nonchalantly defy Hiranyakashipu. It's like so insulting, you know. If someone came in front of him and fought him, well, that's what Hiranyakashipu can understand, because he's a demon. And then Hiranyakashipu will defeat him. So no one comes in front of him to fight him, because they're all afraid, because they know they'll get killed, because Hiranyakashipu is so powerful. But Prahlad doesn't even fight Hiranyakashipu. He's just insignificant, that's all. Doesn't even bother. Hiranyakashipu wants to kill him. All right, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Doesn't even bother. So Hiranyakashipu asks, what is the source of your power? And in doing so, he admitted defeat by saying that, admitting your power is more than mine, and I don't even know where you got it from. I know where I got my power from. But actually he didn't. That's what Prahlad told him. The source of your power and the source of my power is the same. And the source is Vishnu. And there's nothing could be said to Hiranyakashipu that would irritate him more. He's naturally angry. But on hearing that, he became so angry because he needs to live in the illusion that I am self-made. My power is mine. I am self-powerful. I am independent. But Prahlad said no. Your power comes from Vishnu. Actually, that's the fact. But Hiranyakashipu, on hearing this, whatever anger he had became stoked up thousands and millions of times, so that his anger, which actually he didn't have a proper focus for his anger. Who can he be angry at? Who is there to challenge him? There's no fun in being so powerful, but you can't manifest it. You have no way to manifest it. It's just like, you know, you have like a very fast car, but you don't have any good roads to drive. You can't drive fast, or it's full of these bumps in the road. And you have a car which can go at 250 kilometers an hour, but you're stuck in a traffic jam or something. So Hiranyakashipu, Indra, all the demigods, he had so much power, no means to manifest it. And then when he tried to manifest it on Prahlad, it was like Indra trying to throw his thunderbolt at Hiranyakashipu's chest. And that thunderbolt just would break on his, instead of breaking the chest, it would break, the thunderbolt itself would break, and Hiranyakashipu would just laugh. So he was putting on, he became intensely focused on Prahlad with great anger. But Prahlad didn't even receive, Hiranyakashipu couldn't work it out, because someone becomes angry, you either become angry back at them or fearful. You either try to fight them or you run away. And Prahlad didn't do either. So Hiranyakashipu, he was bewildered. He just became more and more and more and more angry. So just like it was building up when he was doing his tapasya, building up, building up, building up, building up, and eventually Brahma had to come and cool down Hiranyakashipu, poured some water on him. So it was building up and building up. Hiranyakashipu's anger was building. See, I'm glorifying Hiranyakashipu. I haven't said much about Nrisimha yet. He's coming tomorrow. The anger's building up. So then, as we all know, Hiranyakashipu's anger building up, building up, building up, building up. And then, what's the end of this story? Nrisimha appeared. And Hiranyakashipu, just like Nrisimha appeared because he needed someone to fight with. Who's he going to fight with? Of course, he fights with his friends, the cowherd boys. He fights with the gopis. But that's not very serious fighting. It doesn't end up in ripping out the intestines. But this time, he was angry. And when God gets angry, usually his anger, he takes the form of Rudra. In the form of Rudra, his anger manifests, and that destroys the whole universe. That's the result of his anger. That's why after Nrisimha killed Hiranyakashipu, the first to petition Nrisimha just was Rudra, who is the form of Vishnu's anger for destroying the universe. He said, okay, thanks very much. Now, could you just cool down a bit? Because, you know, it's not the time for the universal destruction. If you go on being angry like this, the whole universe will be destroyed. But Rudra and Brahma and Indra and all, they couldn't cool him down. When Vishnu gets angry, it's, you know, you just can't cool him down very easily. When his anger, such anger, his partial manifestation as Rudra manifests that anger and destroys the whole universe. Now that, who is he going to fight with? He fought with Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu was also very satisfied. Because who will he fight with? There's no one suitable for him to fight with. So actually Hiranyakashipu, he was also ultimately satisfied. Just like Hiranyaksha before that. When he went to Varuna, he asked, hey, I heard you're very powerful, why don't you give me a fight? And Varuna said, no, I'm too old now. He made some excuse. But Vishnu will come. Eventually Vishnu will come and he will kill you. You'll get a good fight from Vishnu. So Hiranyaksha, he was very pleased actually to hear that. Yeah, I'll get a good fight and Vishnu will kill me. So the demons and actually the Kshatriyas also, they may be demons or not demons. Real Kshatriyas, they're not demons. But to fight, for them to fight and ultimately to be killed, that's their pleasure. It's difficult for us to understand. But because the demons, they're absorbed in anger, and the ultimate conclusion of that is death. And if they are to find a suitable combatant who they can have a good fight with, if they're killed by such a person, they don't consider that as a humiliator. That's why Vishnu, Vamanadev, he glorified Bali Maharaj, see in your family this they were killed by Vishnu. Only Vishnu could kill them. So that anger, when God gets angry, what anger is that? That anger is sufficient to destroy all the universes. Such anger. We indirectly, even now, so many years later, this Hitler is being glorified. Even now, you'll find that still it seems the British people, especially it seems the British, they're fascinated by Hitler. They're always writing about the Nazis and Hitler. So indirectly, they're glorifying him as being a great personality. Even, I think about 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, one of these princes, so-called princes, one of the sons of Prince Charles, he had some Nazi swastika, inverse swastika. He had it on his shoulder, some symbol like that. And even after so many years, that became a big issue. That why is he pretending to be, or why is he doing that? Because the British, it just goes to show how afraid they were of Hitler. So they indirectly they glorify him, Hitler. So Nrisimhadev, he glorified Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu glorified Nrisimhadev better than Prahlad. Because a devotee will say to Vishnu, "You are very great." Devotees should say that. We always say that. But how great he is, we don't see. Of course, how he manifests all the universes, only he can do that. But his power, the power by which he creates, maintains, and destroys the universes, that was all manifest. Prakat is manifest. It was all there. All concentrated on Hiranyakashipu. Such intensity. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. One should worship Vishnu with intensity. This Mayavadis, they want to be non-intense. Just everything is nice. Smile. Smile and be nice. Don't be extreme. Buddhism, middle path. Just don't be attached to anything. Don't love anyone. Don't hate anyone. Just like this. Just be completely neutral and mild. But Bhagawan is not like that. He loves his devotees intensely. This way he glorified Prahlad. Therefore, Prahlad, all his love of Prahlad became intensely concentrated in anger against Hiranyakashipu. You can see that photo. Is there a photo of Hiranyakashipu being ripped to pieces by Nrisimha? Photo. Windows into the spiritual world. That famous picture painted under the direction of Srila Prabhupada. Classic. You'll find that face of Nrsimha, that classic picture, that's on many, many internet sites and blogs, and people have taken that to. I don't think they even know who Nrsimha is, but it's circulating all over the internet. I guess the demons, they like that. It's the punks or whatever. They like that. They don't realize that they got a long way to go to make Nrsimha appear. They've got to be a much bigger demon. They can't be such a demon. Only a devotee can be such a demon. Actually, here, Nrsimhadev is glorifying Prahlad with his intensity. At that moment, his intensity of focus on Hiranyakashipu, that is actually his devotee. Only his devotee can have such, even the demons, those, they cannot have such intensity as the devotees when they become a demon. Because this intensity, we don't see this Nrsimha Leela. Anger is so intense that is, but that's there also. That is there. That is the nature of the spiritual world. Intense love of Krishna. It may not manifest in such a manifest manner. It may not be open for all to see. In fact, often it's not. We find in the demon, in the dealings of Krishna with his devotees, it's often subtle. They don't directly express it. The demons are gross. They're not subtle. So, Hiranyakashipu, gross, open hatred of Vishnu and hatred of everyone else, except those who glorified him. Prahlad didn't glorify him. So in Krishna Leela, we find it often very subtle. Parokshan chamama priya, Krishna says. I like this indirect talks, just like we find in the dealings of Krishna with the gopi. They won't say openly. The most intense is that Kurukshetra, that Leela, in which the gopis, they glorify Krishna, but indirectly they're blaming him. So that extreme intensity, we cannot imagine, but that was manifest by Nrsimha on Hiranyakashipu, who had that intensity of hatred. That was the perverted love of the doorkeeper of Vaikuntha. And then we have to go following Gopakumar into Vaikuntha. Beyond, we go to Ayodhya, Dwaraka, and then come to Vrindavan. So much intensity. It's unimaginable. A material body and mind cannot accommodate such intensity. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, actually I have no love for Krishna. If I actually had love for Krishna, I should have died. Because how can you live with such intensity of emotion? That is only possible in the spiritual world. It's not imaginable for us here in this material world. Our emotions are dull. What is called in this world love, what is called hate, what is called kindness, what is called unkindness, all these emotions are dull. They're just slightly manifest. Achetanyam idam vishvam. We're almost dead. In this material world, being separated from Krishna, We're almost dead. But actual life is intense. Intense love of Krishna. And that intensity was manifested by Nrsimhadev. All of the anger which is for all the demons, for destroying all the universe, all the anger, the source of all anger is personally manifesting his anger, and it's all concentrated on Hiranyakashipu. What a benediction. Hiranyakashipu, at that time, Nrsimha, Lakshmi, he's not thinking of Lakshmi. He's not thinking of Vaikuntha. He's not thinking of himself. All he can see is Hiranyakashipu with such anger that he... How to manifest that? The least you can do is kill him. And then put the intestines. Who will do such a thing? Tomorrow we're going to make an intestine garland. Who's going to volunteer their intestines? It's horrible, isn't it? I mean, if someone kills murder is not very nice, but if someone kills them and like dismembers their body and then takes the intestines out and wraps it, you think this person's, you know, crazy. It's just, you know, but why did Nrsimha do that? It's just like his anger was... It wasn't requited by killing Hiranyakashipu. He didn't stop by putting Hiranyakashipu's intestine, the nastiest part of the body. He glorified Hiranyakashipu. You never wanted to offer me a garland. Anyway, I'm taking it. What you're concerned with is all stool. You give great importance to stool. Everything you're interested in, sense gratification, is all stool. So you take that very seriously? All right. The thing that you take most seriously, I'll put around my neck. Who can understand? What is Nrsimha? What is his anger? What is his love for Prahlad? Why do the Gauriya Vaishnavas discuss Nrsimhadev? What are they doing? We're supposed to be concerned with gopis and Yamuna and flutes. What are we doing glorifying Nrsimhadev? What's it got to do with us? Well, Hare Krishna. It's an unanswered question.
I think don't show this. Take it. There's some complaint last
time. All right. Well, I guess we'd better wait for the answer. No time now. Nrsimha's coming. When he comes, Hiranyakashipu can't say, "Could you just wait a few minutes? I've got to say goodbye to my friends." They allow that, right? Someone, they're about to be executed and they're allowed to kiss their mother or something like that. No such chance. When Nrsimha's coming, even Hiranyakashipu says, could you just wait there? Hiranyakashipu, Nrsimha can't hear him even. He's lost control of his mind and senses. He's just coming out and he's going to kill him. That's all.
So,
he's come. Is he coming or is he not coming? He's come.